From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Crossing the Jordan, a Picture of Baptism into Christ's Death, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 52 and verse 8. The mercy of God. Meditate a little on this mercy of the Lord. It is tender mercy. With gentle, loving touch, He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He is as gracious in the manner of His mercy as in the matter of it. It is great mercy. There is nothing little in God. His mercy is like Himself. It is infinite. You cannot measure it. His mercy is so great that it forgives great sins to great sinners after great lengths of time, and then gives great favors and great privileges, and raises us up to great enjoyments in the great heaven of the great God. It is undeserved mercy, as indeed all true mercy must be, for deserved mercy is only a misnomer for justice. There was no right on the sinner's part to the kind consideration of the Most High. Had the rebel been doomed at once to eternal fire, he would have richly merited the doom. And if delivered from wrath, sovereign love alone has found a cause, for there was none in the sinner himself. It is rich mercy. Some things are great, but have little efficacy in them. But this mercy is a cordial to your drooping spirits, a golden ointment to your bleeding wounds, a heavenly bandage to your broken bones, a royal chariot for your weary feet, a bosom of love for your trembling heart. It is manifold mercy. As Bunyan says, all the flowers in God's garden are double. There is no single mercy. You may think you have but one mercy, but you shall find it to be a whole cluster of mercies. It is abounding mercy. Millions have received it. Yet far from its being exhausted, it is as fresh, as full, and as free as ever. It is unfailing mercy. It will never leave you. If mercy be your friend, mercy will keep you in temptation to keep you from yielding, with you in trouble to prevent you from sinking, with you living to be the light and life of your countenance, and with you dying to be the joy of your soul when earthly comfort is ebbing fast.
Shall not return empty, His blood shall not return.
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Joshua chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 relates the dividing of the waters of the Jordan, allowing the children of Israel to pass through on dry ground. In this message, Dr. Cairns is paying particular attention to the Scripture's emphasis upon the Ark of God in the midst of the river as the people passed over. The burden of the message is to show exactly what the Bible means by being baptized into Christ's death. The first thing we noted is that the people's deliverance depended solely upon the ark being carried into the waters, a symbol of the deliverance from the wrath of God through the atoning death of Christ. The people themselves had no power to hold back the waters. That depended completely upon the intervention of God's power. Likewise, our salvation depends in its entirety upon Christ's finished work on the cross. Then we'll see that in the new birth we become one with Christ, so that we receive the value of His work as if it were our own. Here we come to the glorious truth of imputation. Now to continue this message, Crossing Jordan, a picture of baptism into Christ's death. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Baptism into Christ is first and foremost a deliverance from the wrath of God through the virtue of the atoning death of Christ. That atoning death is a safe abode for the trusting soul, under which he has the protection of a divine hand, because in that atonement he has the satisfaction of divine wrath. In Galatians 3 verse 13, the apostle puts it this way: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So how much curse of the law is left for the believer in Christ? None. How much wrath of God is left for the believer in Christ? The apostle answers that categorically. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And as with the children of Israel, so with us. There is nothing of our effort that has gone in to stemming the flood of divine wrath. There is nothing of our effort that has contributed to deliverance from the wrath and curse of a sin-hating God. The Apostle Paul testified in Titus 3, verses 5 to 7, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice how these thoughts are conjoined. No work of ours, just sovereign mercy that gives us a regeneration and a renewing. And it's all shed upon us through Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. The result of which is we are justified by grace and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that's why the New Testament constantly emphasizes justification by faith. It's not that faith merits justification. It is simply that faith receives the justification that is wrought on the merits of Christ. Faith says that no tool of man will be lifted upon the altar of God. Faith says that no work of man will be superadded to the work of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith admits the lost, guilty condition of the sinner, the state of just condemnation of the lost souls of men under the wrath of a sin-hating God. It admits all that, but it takes its stand where the children of Israel took their stand that day when God called them over Jordan. They took their stand where the ark stood. They put their trust in the ability and in the merit of their ark to keep the waters of judgment away. That's exactly what faith does. It takes its stand in the finished work of Christ. It takes its stand on the sole merits of His atonement. And casting away all hope of any acceptance by God on the ground of what we do, faith lays hold of what Christ has done and stands there absolutely secure. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. He says in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, or we have reconciliation. That's the great truth that he constantly preaches in all his epistles, especially in the famous words of Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Justification by faith, without works, through the merits of Christ. So, what is the first element in the meaning of being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? It is pictured here at the Jordan. It is a total dependence on the merit of that death for our salvation from the wrath and curse of God. But it means something else. To be baptized into Christ's death means to become one with Christ so that we receive the value of His work as truly as if that work were our own. To be baptized into the death of Jesus Christ means to become one with Christ so that we receive the value of His work as truly as if that work were our own. We go back to Joshua 3 and look at our text. The ark stood in the Jordan. It stemmed the flood. But the people received the value of that work just as truly as if they had personally gone upriver and by some feat of genius stopped the waters. They received a safe passage just as truly through the intervention of the ark as if they had personally stemmed the flood. Now, in New Testament terms, this leads us to the great truth of imputation. Now, that's one of those big words that in most churches is left out because people say they are turned off by great doctrinal terms. I think that is a strange thing, especially here in America. I can't understand it. You see, when you come to America, and this is not a criticism, this is just an observation. When you come to America, I've heard people from various parts of the world pass comment on this. If there are two ways of saying a thing, a simple way with three words of a single syllable each, or another way with mighty terms and roundabout phraseology, most Americans choose the latter way. You want to talk to people here about what's wrong with them when they're feeling a little under the weather. You may laugh at this, but in Northern Ireland they may say, I have a sore head, which means a headache. Over here, you're likely to be given medical terms about this long. Now, of course, it doesn't make the disease any worse, or the condition any worse, but this is what it is. The ordinary man in the street will describe things, and he'll think nothing of it. He'll think nothing of it whatsoever. He'll use great terms in the medical vocabulary, in his own particular field, whether it's engineering or architecture or art or anything at all. I heard one of them the other night as we were going into that hotel, and the young man was there to take people's cars. Now, he didn't take ours. We weren't among the elite who drove up their great cars, and he drove it around. I'm not going to hazard the full description of his job, but if you see our brother Craig after the meeting, he'll tell you what they call them exactly. They have these long titles. Now, why, when we come to theology, can people who practically dislocate their jaws using big words in every other sphere, why must they suddenly throw the great terms of the gospel out the window? I can never understand that. On a more serious note, this country boasts the highest level of college attendance of any country in the world. So on average, you reckon to have a better educated congregation in America. Not in every part of it, obviously, but in most parts, you reckon to have a better educated population than you can reckon on in any other part of the world. And yet, for some reason, here in the United States, and I say this more so than even in the backwoods of Northern Ireland, for some reason, Christians have been made to think you can't deal with great theological truth. I don't understand that. This word imputation is pictured for us in what we have just been seeing, the children of Israel being so absolutely safe, crossing Jordan through the intervention of the ark as if they had stopped the waters themselves. That's the picture of imputation. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. As by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, the verb that Paul uses at the end of that statement, the verb to make, many shall be made sinners, many shall be made righteous, needs to be understood. It means, in this context, that they be declared sinners or righteous. It means that they be constituted legally in the sight of God as sinners or righteous. How did we come under condemnation? By the offense of one. By Adam's first transgression. We passed from life unto death in Adam. Now the converse is true. We pass from death unto life in Christ. As Adam's sin was imputed to his offspring, because he is the root and federal head of the whole race, so Christ's righteousness is imputed to his people, because he also is the federal head of all his people. In Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.